This is a production of Cornell University.
Amazing. The time is 4:53. We have 15 members present. I'm calling this meeting to order. So first I'm going to start with the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigano, the Cayuga Nation. The Gaigano are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaigano dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigano people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, I'm going to start with any late additions to the agenda. Representative Williams.
Yes, can you hear me?
We need everyone to speak into microphones just for the record, so we need to make sure they're actually working.
Yeah, so this is working, right?
Yes.
When I get this close to it. Last time we tabled the Representative Mullins resolution on changes to the election rules. I'm now a co-sponsor, and it was tabled. It should be on the agenda today, but not, so I'm adding it. Is it okay if I do that? Motion to add that to the agenda.
Okay. So it was tabled, so to bring it to the agenda, we would have to have a 2/3 vote in favor.
Is it with tabling, it just automatically comes to that?
No. If you table it for next week, but it was just tabled.
Can.
Yeah, so is that a motion to vote?
Yeah, that's a motion to vote.
Okay, can I have all those in favor of bringing that to the floor? Please raise your hand. The referenda resolution from last week. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? Okay, all those abstaining? In a vote of 9-4-1, I did not. Amari, can you use the chat to tell us what you were voting? Is there anyone? Said yes. Okay. So in a vote of 10-4-1, I don't know what 2/3 is. Yeah, it is. I'm so, that's 15. It's exactly 2/3. Okay. So that passes and now it's up. I've not taken a math class at Cornell. That tells you how long it has been since I've taken a math class. Okay. So resolution 43, we are putting below 44. Any other late additions to the agenda? Representative Kim.
I would like to invite two peers for nominating them to the Office of Ethics, if that's possible.
Okay. Is that not the one that's already on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Okay, so you're motioning to add that to the agenda. Okay. Is that by unanimous consent or through a vote?
By unanimous consent.
Okay. Do we have a second to that? Do we have any dissent to that? Okay. So that is added to our agenda. I'm going to put that right after the other Office of Ethics nominations. Any other late additions? Okay. Now we're going to move into the consent agenda. Minutes from December 2nd and February 17th. Smell upon a motion. Oh, can you speak into the microphone?
Okay. So if I remember correctly, we had like 3 meetings on December 2nd. So do we have the minutes from the other two or like?
They're still processing the minutes. So these are one set of minutes from December 2nd.
Oh, also motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Okay.
Give me one second. Thank you.
Okay. Motion to approve by unanimous consent. We have a second. Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. That's December 2nd. Any motions for December, for February 17th? Sorry. Representative Eisman. Okay, perfect. Just so it's on the record, that was Representative Eisman. We have a second from, who was the second? Representative Williams was the second. Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing, those are approved by unanimous consent. I'm gonna give it to VP Bonta for open microphone.
Thank you. Open microphone is for non-member, community members or non-SA members who have any announcements, questions, or concerns. And so if you do, please address the podium. Going once, going twice. I will close open microphone and pass it back to President.
Okay, now we have announcements and reports. Cornell's academic materials programs presentation from Patricia Loy, and I believe that is on Zoom.
Is it possible to get screen sharing permission for Michael?
Yes, I think they're working on it right now.
Okay, thank
perfect.
You.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for having us today. So we're here to discuss the Cornell Academic Materials Program, which here at Cornell, we like our acronyms. So we're calling this CAMP, Affordable Sustainable Course Materials Delivery Program for Undergraduates. And I am Michael Ramsey. I'm the Academic Materials Manager for Student Campus Life. I work with the Cornell Store and here, as well as Patricia Loy.
Hi, I'm a current senior at Cornell, and I'm also in the ILR school. I'm mainly pre-law.
Thank you. Okay, so the university basically tasked at hand to identify a more sustainable, inclusive, and equitable model for course materials delivery. As you may know, course materials are kind of all over the place, print textbooks, digital books, course codes, all kinds of stuff. We looked at ways to combat unpredictability of course materials costs and reduce financial barriers and also improve course preparedness. I think, we're in the most transformative technological moment since the early stages of the Industrial Revolution. And there are plenty of social, political, and economic impacts that we are still learning to navigate with technology. When it comes to the digital world, inclusion and access are only the beginning. We want to promote technology as a tool to improve the university community, education, and the future workforce. Through existing programs, which I'll talk about in a moment, such as Instant Access, I think we've witnessed real-time engagement with digital course materials to better understand gaps in inclusion and access. However, we can transform the way we see and understand these systems and problems, allowing us to make broad and substantial changes and improvements in the educational journey at Cornell through the use of more sustainable, affordable, and inclusive course materials. So ultimately, we are here today to both preview the direction we're headed, but also to gather feedback that can help us adapt and improve to more accurately represent this learning process for us. As you may know or may not know, on the administrative side, we acknowledge information asymmetry and can only use the information available to us from where we've been to where we are now. So we only have so much insight into the student environment. And our goal is to identify a program of course materials delivery that provides the fairest value for the entire undergraduate community. At the moment, current initiatives that we've had, we have the university's Instant Access program. As many students take Canvas courses, course materials are automatically loaded into these courses for those that participate. This program has brought down the cost across the board of course materials. And it offers a wider selection of different academic methods for faculty to pursue. I think I jumped ahead. Course materials are also offered for sale at the Cornell store, as well as many other different places. Expansion of library offerings and through the various retail and other formats on campus to work with the library to have more availability in terms of resources for students. And this is limited to certain aspects financially and both space-wise resources. So we do as much as we can to assist the libraries, but it does come down to the available resources. Reduction in highly expensive print textbooks. So we've been working with faculty for the past 5 years to reduce course materials that are not entirely required that may be absurdly expensive. And transition of print books to ebooks. So we've kind of seen with the pandemic an acceleration of this from printed textbooks to the prevalence of ebooks and the expansion of available resources and assistance for these materials, working with various departments throughout the campus, whether it be tutoring centers, libraries, et cetera, to provide assistance for course materials that we do have. So the current initiatives and what we've learned. So there's a critical need to pursue a location agnostic delivery. We've seen this with the back and forth. We're doing this today with us on Zoom and several people in person. It's still not 100% solvable problem. So we're looking for ways to mitigate the expense and to ensure more equity amongst course materials across the entire undergraduate population. So rather than inaction, this is a call to action to adopt and learn how to best approach affordability and access. And it's a change and plan for conditions now, but also for the future. So we're looking at what ecosystem we're currently in and trying to fix that until we are able to move to something that is a much better fit for the university. So what we're seeing right now, students are using more digital options now than ever before. This is especially true with Canvas and the amount of digital options that are available through Canvas. Students are choosing the most affordable option, which trends dominantly digital. So digital not only brings down the cost, but it also offers the widest variety of prevalence in terms of duration, rentals, which also bring down the cost even further. So some students might prefer to use an ebook for 2 to 3 months rather than purchase it for life. And that does offer additional options for students. And print course materials are becoming more and more unsustainable. The process of bringing in course materials, disseminating them and distributing to students in print form, and then what do you do with those materials at the remainder of the semester? And I'll just let you know that if you do have any questions, you're free to chime in, but there is a space at the end where we'll take some feedback and questions. And print books in general will never go away. So we know that print books are never going to disappear entirely, but the cycle of course materials is evolving and we're trying to work ahead of that curve. What digital brings to the college experience. So we've seen a shift toward more technical literacy. However, this is important that savviness doesn't equate to literacy. So being able to use digital devices doesn't always necessarily mean that students are able to get to full literacy with the digital materials that are offered. So there's a big strategy behind this to also build up the ability to not only use the devices that digital is offered on, but also to support the course materials and anything that's digital in the digital sphere. There are higher rates of engagement with the course materials than Canvas courses. We've seen this through the Instant Access program, which has been around since 2016. And it's been building and building and building ever since. And improvement in financial burden of high cost materials. So we're still continuing to bring down the cost of course materials across the board by ensuring that what's required in courses actually meets what will be used in courses and that superfluous materials are not being added and requested if they're not actually part of the curriculum. The current ecosystem evolution. So beginning in fall 22, we're looking at an all required course materials digital first program for all undergraduates at the same flat rate. So right now the course materials are provided at a per diem, each item is sold individually. And either if you're in the instant access program, your bursar are billed for individual items. This is a program that's looking at building all of those items into one single thing. So all required course materials will be provided for all undergraduates at one flat rate. And this is on the semester level, not annually. So I'll talk about this in a second, but there is the ability to not participate in this. It's a digital first approach, and this is majorly our sustainability side. Print will be provided in instances where digital formats are not available. So we will have the continuance of print across courses. We will see lab manuals, we'll see other print materials that are just always in the game. Participation is currently, or will currently be available to undergraduates. Phase two of the program will unroll to additional graduates and professional students. A big component of this is preparedness and being available by day one. So we want to ensure that course materials are available on the first day of classes to all students. Currently, with our instant access programs that we have, we've seen a huge shift in the amount of students that are using these course materials on the first day. And with these programs, it offers the trial period to determine if this is the right fit. So those course materials are provided for 3 and sometimes up to 4 weeks for free, starting on or before the first day of the class. Program cost is fully covered for students receiving financial aid. And I'll talk more about financial aid in a second. Participation based at the semester level, like I said, and there's a process to decline participation, the opt-out process. Anyone that's taking instant access courses is already familiar with this process. So this will be on the full program level. So if you opt out, you're opting out of all course materials. Affordability and inclusion. So one of the major tenets of this is to stabilize the semester start experience by predictable costs. So students coming into each semester will understand that this is what required to participate in course materials. This is what will cost for course materials every semester. Predictable distribution, all undergraduates on day one, and a lower program cost allows for rebalancing of financial aid, not a reduction in financial aid, just a better rebalance so that it meets the right places. Currently, the way financial aid is distributed in many cases is kind of like a ballpark. And so some students are not receiving the proper amount of financial aid in the areas that is required. Accessibility. So Canvas-centric, this is a will be universal application point across all disciplines. Continuous accessibility audit and of content and the platform. So we go through this process every year with the university. In terms of accessibility, web compliance standards, student data. Universal design approach to make it accessible for the most amount of users, which helps those that wouldn't even think that they need to have accessibility in some way or form. When we design for all users, we're also benefiting ourselves. Alternate formats and existing process for accommodations. So we've worked with many offices across campus to provide accommodations for those that cannot manage the digital or who do not have the accessibility needs for the digital. And expansion to technology resources. So we're looking into the future of a program like this and how that might affect technology devices, other forms of different usage for course materials. So I've kind of run through this quickly because I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we'd love to have some questions and feedback to hear what your thoughts.
Awesome. I'm going to open it to questions. And is this working? You guys can hear me? Okay, cool. I'm going to open it up to questions and comments. Thank you so much for your presentation, Representative Wan.
Hi, is this working? Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Yes, yep.
Thank you guys so much for coming. I had a couple of quick, I guess, concerns / questions. Since you said that all of the materials next semester are gonna become one flat rate, does that mean, so a student who's taking like one, like a class that only needs like one book compared to a student that might need 10 books would be all paying like the same price?
Yes, so it would be a flat rate across all undergraduates. There is the decision process that each individual student will make to determine whether the program is a right fit. So for the student that's taking one course, materials probably wouldn't be a good fit, so their best option would be to opt out. We also foresee other students not participating, those that are abroad, those that are just part of programs that don't utilize course materials.
Will they still have the option to like pick and choose it? Like if they opt out, will they still have the option to like opt into a single instant access book rather than the whole program?
Not at the undergraduate level. Those digital options may still exist, but they won't be part of the CAMP program. So we do foresee, especially graduate students, utilizing individual course materials through instant access. Until that program is further disseminated. But the best way for a student to have a single ebook would be outside of the CAMP program.
Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Working? Yeah? No? So thank you for the presentation. I remember when this was first presented to the assembly, or when you came a couple semesters ago, and it was interesting. I guess I'm just curious if you know, maybe you don't have the statistic, but what the current opt-out rate is from instant access as it stands. I guess that just kind of stems from, I know there's going to end up being students that want to opt out but forget to, and you're paying for something that you didn't actually want, may or may not be speaking from personal experience this semester. But yeah, just curious if you know that statistic for instant access opt-out rate as of right now.
So it really depends on courses and on the course. For ebooks, we see a higher opt-out rate. Courses that use anything like MyLab or Connect, those have a much lower opt-out rate. And it really depends on how engaging the course materials are in the course, and especially from the faculty side, how much of the course relies on engagement with those course materials. So we do see a higher opt-out rate with ebooks in general. But courses that do use courseware have a much lower opt-out rate. And our current program with Instant Access, we do have that 3-week opt-out period, but we also take into account that students may have missed deadlines, or just to forget, or drop courses or withdraw. So there is a process currently for late opt-outs, and we will foresee that this will carry over into the CAMP program as well. So we have deadlines, which are basically just for billing purposes when we get the entire billing process started, but there's nothing to say that we can't remove a charge after it's been put through.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions or comments? Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today and for your great presentation. We look forward to the next steps in this process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you, may I, I'll just give our contact if any questions do come up, instantaccess@cornell.edu. We'll be able to answer any questions that you may come up with after.
Perfect. Thank you. And can you leave that in the chat too? That way we can have it for record or something.
Absolutely.
You might need it. Thank you.
Yeah, and also I guess I want to leave like a last comment. I've been working on this program with this team for a really long time since the summer. And I feel like as a senior at Cornell, I definitely could envision this program being really beneficial to me when I was a freshman, when I was buying all my textbooks myself and dealing with a lot of adjustments here. And I really think this program really does, you know, benefit with having academic excellence and, you know, providing convenience for a lot of the students here. So I hope you that's what you guys took away from this presentation today.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so I am going to open it to any other announcements or reports that we have. Also, just as like a point for everyone, I know that break is coming up soon. I've seen a lot of side talk, a lot of phones, a lot of that stuff today. So please put your tech away and pay attention to all of our speakers. Very important. Representative Katie.
To update all of you that the UA saw, I guess it'd be this past Tuesday, a resolution on the possibility of adding new pools. The project would be basically putting a new, I believe the word's natatorium we're using, which is a fancy word I learned in the process of this resolution, to be added to the Greater Good project for, you know, working with donors and trying to accumulate money for that. So that resolution was brought to the University Assembly, and I intend to bring it to the Student Assembly after it's been passed the University Assembly, which would likely be, hopefully be 2 weeks from now. So keep your eyes out. If anyone has any questions also, like always, you can come to me and ask.
Perfect. Representative Hernandez.
Does that work? No?
You need to like, speak like really strong.
Into it, okay. I guess I just wanted to loop everyone in that OSA is having another SNAP / Medicaid workshop to inform students about eligibility requirements on March 9th from 5 to 6. So I'll be plugging that in the Slack group chat. But also, our tax information workshop last week went amazing. We had like over, I think, 30 students come in, either through Zoom or in person, and I feel like that's such thing that just shows like how much need there is in the community to just be informed of like different options. And that was like the same amount of attendance I think we had for our first SNAP workshop. So we're really excited, and we hope that you guys can keep sharing it. So thank you if you did.
Amazing and incredible work you guys are doing at OSI. I like love following along. Representative Gremmeyer.
Am I allowed to ask Representative Katie a question about that? Is this like the proper time for it or?
Sorry, can you like just speak louder?
Is this like a proper time to ask like Representative Katie a question about like the pool thing that he introduced? Okay. I just wanted to ask, like, is this one of those resolutions that like needs to go to all the assemblies like before it goes to the president, or is this just something that like we just wanted to like voice our support for?
So technically speaking, no resolution actually has to go through all the assemblies. The reason that resolutions like this are sent through multiple assemblies is the hope to get more attention to it, as it would then cross the president's desk more often, as well as bring broader coverage to it and show solidarity of interest between employees, faculty, staff, graduate professional students, such. So the intention with this resolution coming from the UA Welfare Committee, which is a committee comprised of all constituencies, was that it would benefit all constituencies. There's more employment opportunities for more people to work at newer facilities. There is quite a large population of faculty, graduate and undergraduate students that all use these facilities. It's open to everyone, and it's also free. And we are currently the only, if these adjustments aren't made, we have the potential of becoming the only Ivy League, the only Ivy Plus, and the only really regional school of this size to not have a pool or some sort of facility like that. As well as it also is being brought up for a lot of concerns brought by different student groups, different graduate professional students, different faculty and staff relevant who use these facilities. So the intention is, because it is such a broad thing that involves so many constituencies and it's such a large project, And really, when you get a chance to read this resolution, or you can just obviously go to the University Assembly website to read more, you can see it's really something that's relevant to all populations and isn't really necessarily built into one. But it was started in the Faculty Senate, and I hope that answers your questions.
Yeah, no, that was a great response. Thank you. I'm really interested in it.
Also, just as a clarification, just so everyone knows, when a resolution is passed by every assembly identically, it supersedes the president and goes straight to the Board of Trustees, and they have to discuss it at their meeting. So that's usually why we do that, so that basically another governing body looks at the resolution as well, because most of the resolutions that we pass go straight to the president, and the president makes her decisions based on those, and the trustees don't usually get involved, which is what I think is the goal and intention with this resolution. Okay, any other announcements, reports? Representative Williams.
I forgot to bring this up earlier. If there's a typo on the agenda, the last two letters in Diacono aren't there. It's like an O and then an apostrophe.
Sorry, where?
In the name, land acknowledgement and the Diacono, there's an O at the end.
Oh, I'm apostrophe. So sorry, yes. Can we make amendments to the agenda? I'm going to say we can make an amendment to the agenda by unanimous consent. Sorry, Wendy's giving me a look. Oh, she was saying that Diacono is spelled incorrectly on our agenda.
Point of personal privilege, if for anyone curious, you can see correct spelling on the minutes.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say an amendment by unanimous consent to just change that on our agenda. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. Okay, now I'm gonna go into initiatives. Do we have any initiatives on the floor? Any presentations and forums? Okay, now we're gonna go into business of the day. We are voting for the Office of Ethics. Representative Wan.
So I'm leaving in a couple of minutes for a prelim. If you know, it'd be at 14 people. Is quorum question mark?
Does that take away quorum of 14 people?
What?
Okay, yeah. So that will take away quorum, which means that we're probably tabling most of our agenda today. But I would like us to do resolution 44 if we can, because I think it's adamant. So motion to move that up on our agenda for the day. Second, okay. I would like to read this resolution. If we have, do you have a few minutes? Okay, perfect.
Because we have them here, can we make a nomination vote right now? Because we've already spoken to them. This is just a vote, not actually a nomination.
Okay.
I think we're doing less than
that. Yes.
We could delay the nomination and confirm the vote. Because the person we already nominated is here.
Okay, so we can't do the nominations today, but they're asking if we could do a vote today, which I think that we could do a vote unless this is controversial. Okay, then I'm gonna plan for us to go straight into voting. Who are we voting on?
It is, it's Pedro's nomination. I'm forgetting their name, but I see her. Right, Wendy.
Okay, yes. Everyone.
Is that how you pronounce your name, Kira? What?
You need to be in the microphone.
Is your name Kira? Yeah, and yeah, do you want to come up really quickly so you can vote? Sorry. I realize I'm saying all this and none of you can hear that. Sorry. So this is Pedro's nomination from last meeting, okay. If you remember that.
Okay, we're going to go into our motion to vote. Can I have all those in favor of this nomination? Please raise your placards. Is this everyone? Okay, cool. And anyone opposed? Amazing. And a vote of 14-0-1 that passes. Congratulations, you're now on the Office of the Ethics. Congratulations.
I motion to amend the agenda so we can do resolution 44.
By unanimous consent. Do we have a second to that? Amazing. Okay, so I'm going to read resolution 44. Resolution commending the service of Wendy Treat, Office of the Assembly Senior Coordinator. Wendy, thank you so much for your time with with the Office of the Assemblies and for the work that you've done for the Student Assembly. In her role as senior coordinator, Wendy Treat has served the Cornell Office of the Assemblies for the past 2 years. In that time, Wendy has specifically served the Cornell Student Assembly and has provided this body with direct support. This resolution commends Wendy for her dedication and continued service to the Cornell community. Thank you. I'm gonna open it up to comment for a few minutes for anyone who wants to say anything, and then we can go into voting. Yes, let's approve. motion to vote. I would smile on a motion by unanimous consent. By unanimous consent. Second, do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. Congratulations, and thank you, Wendy. Okay, so that is voted upon. Andrew, you can leave. I know you have a prelim. But I wanted to give, since now we have to adjourn the meeting. Okay, so let's adjourn first. It's not upon a motion to adjourn. Okay. By unanimous consent?
Yep.
Amazing. We have a second, perfect second from Andrew. We are adjourned at 5:28.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.